welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
I'm not going to lie, when I saw Aaron doing children's time, it got me thinking. I couldn't imagine preaching with somebody on my back. So God bless you, Aaron, for doing that. That's strength of Christ in you, brother. Well, good morning, church. I'll be up front with you already. This morning, I have a little bit of a sore throat, so if I cough a few times or step away from the mic, please forgive me. I believe that God has a really amazing word for us today, and so I'm very excited to share that with you. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John 15. We're going to be going through a passage today that we actually went through in our youth program. And if I might just take a moment. I think I know about everyone in this room, but if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Trent Crawford. I'm the youth pastor at Be a Multi-Gen Sunday, as Pastor Isaac said earlier. I get the joy of sharing the word today, and so very excited for that. The message that we're going to be going through today is actually one that, like I said, we've been going through in our youth program. We started going through the fruit of the Spirit, and I always ask my kids every single week, I said, can anybody tell me all the fruit of the Spirit? And they said, love, joy, peace, just start going through all of them. And I loved every single aspect of it, because we walked through every single fruit before we even started with love being the first one. We started in this passage, because I think when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we talk about the different attributes of what makes a Christian a Christian. I think it's all good to start with what Christ has to say, and I think this passage is so amazing in that regard. And before I go any further, I just want to open with a word of prayer, if I may. Father, what an honor it is to come before your throne today. Lord, I just ask that you fill this place with your presence. You fill our hearts and our minds with your perfect truth, and allow us to truly take heed to the commands you have given us. We pray for these words, your words, to penetrate our hearts and change us from the inside out. Lord, allow us to see what you have for us today. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. John 15, 1 says this. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into a fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. That is the word of the Lord. When we read this passage, we get a really amazing illustration of what it looks like to truly be a Christian. Where does the source of our Christianity come from? When I was coming up with this message today, I was starting to think about what are some of the different attributes that make up a Christian. I'm sure for many of you, when we think about the title of Christian, we think of a lot of different things, right? We think about love, how Christians love one another, how we should love one another. We think about generosity. We think about how Christians are typically very giving people. Now, all of these things are really amazing things, but what separates love and generosity and things of those natures? What separates that from just a normal person who has the same characteristics? I know that's kind of a difficult thing to understand, but when we think about it, you could be loving and not be a Christian. You could be generous and not be a Christian. You could be a full atheist and still have the generosity that a Christian may have. But beyond that, where does it come from? As we read through this passage today, what I want us to hopefully see is that in the words of Christ in John 15, we see a beautiful example of how Christians should be connected to Christ, the vine. The source of the fruit that we bear should come from him alone. And we're going to walk through this passage step by step to see that. And so that we can see, what does it look like to be a Christian and to not be of the world? Let's look back at the first three verses. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. What we have here in the very beginning of this passage are what are known as one of seven of Jesus' I am statements. What these statements provide is just a revealing of who Christ is. This is a reflection of what he asked in Matthew 16, 15, when he asked the question, who do you say the Son of Man is? So far in the gospel account of John, we see Jesus reveal himself as being six things. He says in John 6:30, he says, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 10, verses 1 through 10, he says, I am a door for the sheep. And he expands on that in John 10, 11 through 14. He says that he's a good shepherd for the sheep. In John 11, 25, he gives a powerful I am statement by saying he is the resurrection and the life. And finally, in John 14, 6, he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he finishes out his I am statements with, I am the true vine. What is amazing about the connectedness of these two different things is that in the New Testament scripture, he uses the phrase I am, which is, if you can think back to your Old Testament scripture, is the same phrase that God used to reveal himself to Moses with the burning bush. Exodus 3:14, God said to Moses that I am who I am. The original Greek translation of this phrase used in the John 15 passage is ego am I, which Pastor Isaac, you might be able to correct me if that was the right way to say it or not. Ego am I. Which just so happens to be the same combination of words used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament account in Exodus 3. Which, when you place those two words together, it basically makes up the name of God, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. I am who I am. It's so amazing to see the connected scripture. I just wanted to show you that there. See, Jesus is quite literally reflecting the words of God the Father in his earthly ministry as he explains who he is. What I love about the most about how Christ went about his ministry is that he explained heavenly ideas with earthly principles. He did that in this case where he talks about a vineyard, right? He explained the kingdom of God using illustrations that most in his time would have been very familiar with. And like I said, he used a grapevine to explain this teaching of what it means to be connected to him. Now, from a historical perspective, we know that the grapevine was a very important symbol in the culture at the time and a way of life. Of course, we know that it made wine, which was a very common thing. But not only that, but it was very popular. It was on coins that were printed at the time, the grapevines. Not only that, but Israel itself was likened to a vine in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 5:7, it says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasing planting. So when Jesus is saying that he is the true vine, we see that he doesn't use phrases like he is a vine or just the vine. He is the true vine. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures of a coming Messiah, one that would connect the people of God. How amazing is that? Unlike some vines that don't produce fruit or withering away, the vine of Christ is so much full of life because it's the true vine. It's the only vine that produces life-giving fruit. It's fruit of the Spirit we keep talking about. With Christ being at the center, that being the true vine, we see that this illustration that he alone is the source of life and that he provides life-giving fruit. It's so amazing. We see that just in the first couple of verses. But of course, we see in this passage, we see two other aspects of the vine reference mentioned. One of them being that God is a vine dresser and that we as his disciples are the branches. Let's read verses 2 and 3 again. Actually, let's finish verse 1. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the words that I have spoken to you. We see here that while Jesus is the true vine, his Father is still the vine dresser. Now, if you have a different translation, maybe they'll say gardener or something along those lines, right? When we think about a gardener, we think of the one who puts the seeds in the ground. He starts the process, right? He puts things into place, just like our God set everything into motion, right? He is the be-all, end-all, right? Now, when he talks about the idea of pruning, I don't know a whole lot about gardening. Maybe some of you who have had gardens. I know my dad, when I was growing up, he had a big garden that he would tend to. But on a lot of different plants, right, when you have that vine and you have those branches that are bearing fruit, some of those branches that don't bear nearly as much fruit, right, what happens? They snip them off. And why do they do that? To bear more fruit, to make it stronger. And I love how he puts that into perspective here when he says that when every fruit that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. When we reflect this back to our spiritual lives and we connect the dots, if you will, in our own lives, we might have some really high moments with God. Yet, more often than not, we reflect on our spiritual walk and we are burdened with the lack of fruit we may bear. See, a lot of times we try really, really hard to please God. We're connected to the vine. We know what his word says, but we just seem to not do as good as we should be. More than that, it's difficult when we get corrected by God when we do wrong. When we have sin, we get convicted. I might remind you today that if you feel convicted of your sin, that's a good thing. In Hebrews 12:7, it says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seems best to them, but he disciplines us, for our good, that we may share his holiness." Listen to this, verse 11. He says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." See, whenever God trims us up and he corrects us, it can be difficult. Pruning hurts. It's not fun when we get disciplined by God, but it's an amazing thing to do that because we know who we belong to. Just like a vine dresser trimming and pruning the branch, so in us does God trim and prune different parts of our lives so we can grow stronger in him. And just like our earthly fathers who corrected us when we did wrong, so would our heavenly Father correct us when we sin against him. I've already said it, but my dad is here today. What an awesome thing. I get to talk about my dad when talking about dads. But I'm sure my dad can tell so many stories where I would do something wrong and he would correct me. And let me tell you, when my dad corrected me, he corrected me. But at the end of the day, whenever I would do something wrong, he would discipline me, but then he would tell me what I did wrong and why I shouldn't do it again. And because of that, I learned from it. And what's amazing about that is the fact that since my dad did it to me, he wouldn't do that to any other child. If one of my friends was over and they did something wrong, he would probably call their dad first before he disciplined them himself, right? Many fathers in here today, you know, you don't correct other kids. You correct your own child. You correct them because you love them. When we think about who we belong to and who we're abiding with, if we are truly in the vine dresser, our Father, God, when he corrects us, that's a good thing. Something to consider. I mean, I wonder sometimes how we're doing in our faith. And sometimes we can be really torn up on it because sometimes maybe we don't feel convicted of our sin. Maybe sometimes the fruit that we're bearing is not the fruit of God, but rather it's the fruit of something else. Let's read the rest of this passage in John 15, chapter 4. It says, "Abide in me and I in you." Let's pause for just a second. I want you to keep that word in mind, abide. We're going to say it a lot. Maybe some other translations will say remain, but we're going to say abide. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We'll just pause for just a second. When we think about the fruit we bear in our lives, it can be really difficult if we're not bearing the fruit of God, and we can wonder, how do I ever get back to that? Maybe you have bore that fruit in the past. Maybe you have been following God faithfully, but then you seem like you've strayed, and you're not reflecting the things of God. Jesus is giving us a very simple explanation, illustration, if you will, of how we can get closer to him. Abide in me, remain in him, be close. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As I mentioned earlier, when we talk about this word abide, it means to remain, to be close, to be intimate. To abide by the vine is to be closer than you can possibly fathom. You're growing from it. You're not attached to it just by circumstance. You are truly intertwined. Just like an actual plant that bears fruit, the branches are intertwined with the vine. Notice how in verse 4, Jesus says to abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you if you abide in me. When we read this passage, Jesus is giving us a clear understanding that it will be not by our own doing that we grow in our faith. Oftentimes, I think for ourselves, we think that we can get by in our Christian walk by just putting on a face, going to church every once in a while. But see, the problem with that is sometimes we don't have a true heart that is changed, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. There's a true change in our heart when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we're growing in him, that will naturally show in our lives. When we are abiding in him, there's no way that the world can tell that we're a part of the world anymore, because we belong to something else. We belong to our Lord. We belong to Christ. It's an amazing thing. And I love what he said in that passage. He says in verse 5 that apart from me, you can do nothing. See, it's so easy to put on a face. I know this because I've been there too. We try to go to church. We try to show people that we're Christians. But I tell you today that it's very easy to see who is truly in Christ and who is not. The fruit you bear. See, when you don't allow Christ to truly abide in you, when you're truly not receiving the life-givingness that Christ can provide, when you're truly seeking after him, or if I should say, if you're not seeking after him, you're going to continue to hunger and thirst. You're going to long for what the world has to offer and completely miss out on the amazing rest and water, living water that Christ provides. So often we try to chase after what the world has to offer, yet when we get a hold of what we desire, we find it to be so empty and void of life. See, this is just the fruit of the world that we seek after. And ultimately, that's what we'll reflect. We could try to say we're Christians, but yet 6 out of the 7 days, we're going to show something completely different that's not of Christ. As I mentioned earlier, we've been talking about this fruit, but what is this fruit, you may ask? In Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Verse 24, I love what it says. It says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Notice what 24 says. It says that those who belong to Jesus Christ, they put away all of this old stuff that doesn't glorify God. When we are truly in Christ, the whole world's going to know. You're not going to be able to hide it. It's such an amazing thing. We're going to bear these different fruits. See, when we see what these fruits are, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, all these different things, these are all perfect examples of what God has. He is the creator of it. He is the alpha, if you will, of all of these different things. He is the source of love. He is the source of joy, the source of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. He's the source of gentleness and self-control. And Jesus, on his earthly ministry, he showed these different things in perfectness. Ultimately, when we are bearing his fruit, we are understanding that the sin that we have, it hurts us, that we need chastisement. And so whenever we are truly in Christ, when we are showing these fruits, we are glorifying God through it all. There's another part of this passage in John 15 that I think we need to cover. Because number one, we realize that Jesus is the true vine. From him, apart from him, we are nothing. God is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He trims us. He prunes us. He convicts us of our sin. That when we abide in him, we are truly showing his fruit. The world's going to know. But what about this other portion? What about those who truly reject his message? It says in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. What this passage tells us is that those who are not bearing fruit at all, those branches that are just completely withered and dry, right? It's not getting any life from it because it's not truly connected to the vine. These are cast away and removed. It's easy to tell when a branch is no longer able to bear fruit. More than that, it's obvious when a branch does not belong. I heard a story one time in this book titled Fruit of the Spirit by authors Wayne Goodall and Thomas Trask. It shared a story of a friend who would often use an old fruit tree to escape from a second-story bedroom window, especially when the boy knew his father was about to punish him. One day, the father announced that he was going to cut down the old tree because it had not borne fruit in years. That night, the boy and his friends had purchased a bushel of apples and in the cover of gardeners, tied the fruit to the unproductive branches. The next morning, the father woke and shouted to his wife, Mary, I cannot believe my eyes. This old fruit tree that was barren for years is covered with apples. See, it's a miracle because it's a pear tree. You see, with that story, we're going to know what the fruit of Christ looks like. And we're going to know when it doesn't look like that. See, we could try to fake it in our Christian walk, but God knows our heart. He knows when we're truly being obedient to his word and following him with a sincere heart. When we think about the relationship between God and us, do we call him Father, or is he just God? That's the question we must ask ourselves. I want to read two different passages to you. In Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It's a really powerful message for those who aren't in Christ. That's what they're going to hear. Even those who think but don't truly have a changed heart, who are not repentant of their sin, those who put on a face and try to think that their church membership is going to get them to heaven, that all these good deeds that they try to do is going to get them into heaven. At the end of the day, are you truly in a relationship with Christ? Let me read another passage to you. Maybe this can provide some more insight and some more comfort, maybe, if you aren't there. In Romans 8:14, Paul says that all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Did you notice the difference between those two statements? Did you see how one was truly life-giving, the adoption into a family, to have a new father we co-heirs with Christ. Some amazing things there. That verses, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. See, when we abide in Christ, he becomes our Father. When we accept into our hearts as our Savior, we get a new name. The old has passed away, the new has come. We have been adopted into the family of Christ. There's true fruit that is being born from that. But when it comes down to the works that we try to come up with, the things that we try to do to please God that aren't scriptural, the habitual rituals that have no meaning behind them, that's where we get the Matthew 7 passage. And so just some final thoughts as we finish this verse out. In verse 7, it says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, and that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. When we abide in Christ and the Spirit of God dwells in us, we will bear much fruit. It'll be hard to hide it. We will show it the love and the joy and the passion that comes from our God. Not only that, we'll be able to reveal to others just how magnificent a work our God is doing in our lives. See, whenever we are truly abiding in the vine, like I said a million times over, it's going to show in our lives. And because of that, others are going to see it and glorify God and say, wow, something is happening in this person's life. I want to know more about that. Notice how verse 7 says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It may be kind of confusing. Okay, well, Pastor Trent, I understand that you're talking about abiding in Christ, but how do I do that? How do I grow closer? I know I need to repent of my sin. I know that I'm not bearing good fruit. So how do I do it? Well, I got one simple step for you guys. Read the Word of God. Let it pierce through your heart. Let it transform you from the inside out. The only way you're going to know who God is through his word. You can listen to Pastor Isaac and I speak, but go and seek it out yourself. Go and learn and understand the powerful mercy that your God has for you. Yes, and without Christ, we are filthy. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, as the word of God says. But when we provide just a true offering of our sorrow and just say, God, I repent of my sin, we lift it up to him. He is faithful to forgive us. How amazing is that? It's not just a one and done. You don't just invite Christ in your heart and say, okay, I'm good for the rest of my life. No, you continue to seek after him. I told my Sunday school class this morning, it's like learning a language. Say Spanish, for example, or French, or whatever foreign language you could think of. You may be able to learn a couple different phrases. Like I can say, hola, ¿cómo está ustedes? But that doesn't mean I can speak Spanish fluently. The same goes with learning the Word of God. You don't just read a couple Bible verses and think you got it. It takes a lifetime of learning who he is, stumbling and falling, and then learning about the grace of God that picks you right back up again. But when we are abiding in Christ, there's nothing that can separate us. So finally, I just ask you the simple question, what kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you truly abiding in the vine of Christ? Are you truly resting in him? Or are you relying on what the world has to offer? Whenever you are faced with trials of many kinds, are you truly persevering and looking towards the cross? Are you keeping your one hand on the plow and looking back at the world behind you saying, oh, I don't know? Today I want to just finish with just a few different verses to remind you of the powerful gospel message of Jesus Christ, that if you have not placed your faith and trust in him today, then I hope this will spark something for you. Ephesians 2, verse 1. I love this passage. I read it all the time to my youth kids. They're probably tired of it, but I don't get tired of it. Ephesians 2, 1, it says, you were dead. Notice the were part in that. in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at the work of the sons of disobedience, among whom we once walked, once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were like nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. See, we were dead. We were lost. Verse 4 says something pretty powerful. It says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he have loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. See, by grace you have been saved and raised us up from with him and seated him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I just pray today, if you're relying on anything other than the strength of the Lord, I just pray that you turn to him. When you abide in the vine, you will start seeing some of the most life-givingness that you would ever experience. Because he is the source of life. He is the source of our strength. He is the source of the love that we share. We love others because he first loved us. We can go through every single aspect of the fruit, and we can see God just richly through it all. And so I just continue to pray for you as you seek that out. If you're struggling with that, come talk to Pastor Isaac. Come talk to me. He has clearly done a work in our lives. We want to tell you about it now. It's what we've been called to do. And so, what fruit are you bearing is my question for you today. As you go out this week, bear the fruit. If you're not, turn back to him. He's faithful to forgive you. He loves you, and so do I. Let's pray. Father, what an honor it is to just come before your throne today. Lord, we are just so grateful just to come before you and just to worship your holy name. God, we pray that you forgive us when we fail you. Lord, that we turn away from all unrighteousness, all these different things that hold us back from you, God. We just pray that you continue to cleanse us, purify us, Lord. Allow us to seek after your Son with every step of our being, with every step we take, every breath that we have, Lord, let it be glorifying to you. Father, we love you so much. We just continue to pray that, Lord, if we are not bearing your fruit, Lord, we know what it is. Father, we pray that we continue to seek after you. And we ask for not only your forgiveness, but God, that your mercy be upon us. And Lord, that we can bear your fruit and be disciples of you, so we can share your gospel message to so many different people. And in the end, you be glorified. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross, to be put in a grave. But Lord, thank you for being raised to life again. What an amazing, amazing promise that is. Father, allow us to trust in you and lean not in our own understanding. Father, thank you for this time. We just pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.